This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Hey, James.
Hey, good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. We have a really cool list of stuff we're going to talk about today. We, of course, have our question of the week, and this one's about margins and product mix, which if you don't get that right, you can go broke.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
I like that.
We are going to bring up the touchy-feely topic of international affairs. I'm going to introduce you to a new AI security dashboard that just showed up in Microsoft 365 that's super cool. And you're going to tell us about a couple of business partners that have been bumping heads after they merged and some tips for getting us through that. And then right at the end, I got this really cool thing that somebody sent me last night. We're going to have fun. It's the Prepper's Internet. At least that's what I call it. It's actually called Project Nomad. But yeah, you can take the internet into your bunker. So
that sounds
stay tuned
cool.
For that.
That sounds very cool.
Let's kick this off with our question of the week. What margins should I be targeting? And what is the mix that I should be shooting for? And by mix, we're talking reoccurring services, professional services, and product sales. What do you tell your people that you coach, James? What's the margin supposed to be on these things?
So great question. There's a lot to that. High level, obviously you want to hire more than 50% recurring revenue. And, you know, the first question I would say is, you know, what are your goals? You know, are you trying to build it to sell, just best practices, you know, your market and all that stuff. But in general, when I talk to MSPs, you want the majority of the revenue on subscription income, right? And that typically, I remember seeing a statistic years ago that the average margin nationally was a minimum of 35%. And smaller MSPs, I've seen 65, 70, or 75% margins, you know, a lot higher. But this is a mix of big ones and small ones. The bigger you are, the lower the margin's going to be because you have a lot more overhead.
Is that the margin on their recurring services?
Yeah, on the recurring
services. So the numbers that for margins that I try to target for that are greater than 50% and pushing up to 70. So yeah. What I tell the people that I coach with or advise with is, they typically come to me and they're somewhere around 40s, like you said, like that national average is 35.
Yeah.
It's really hard to push any money down to the profit line if your margins are that low. 35 up to 70, you can't do that tomorrow. It's going to probably take you a number of years to get there. But if we can get to 50, now you're finally starting to make money. And then we want to slowly work our way up to that 70 range is where I like to see them be.
And let me throw one thing in there too regarding the contractual recurring revenue, the subscription revenue. You know, make sure you're doing price adjustments on a regular basis. I can't tell you how many times I run into an MSP and I'm talking, oh, when was the last time you did a price increase? They run out of fingers and toes counting how many years it's been. And it's like, no, I mean, you know, more and more anymore, it's written in people's contracts where there's a cost of living adjustment annually. So, you know, make sure you're adjusting that. That's one little tip right out of the get-go. But what about professional services? You know, do you see the same margins? What was your goal when selling projects?
Project margins should be 40 to 60, let's call it, with that 50% margin range right in there.
Yep.
And as far as the mix goes, you know, I like to see like 70% coming from recurring services, 30% coming from professional services. What I often see is that people are skimping on their professional services. They're not putting enough of an emphasis on that in their business. They're sort of just letting it happen ad hoc. But I think it's a thing that you need to focus sales on Because to me, that professional services, that's a customer relationship builder too.
Yeah, I think those two are tied together. And then what about product sales? That's an interesting component to this. I think for the smaller MSPs, you know, based, you know, tool sprawl, there's a lot of reasons why margins are eroding. Competitive mix, you know, marketing isn't really working well. So people think in order to get the deal, I've got to adjust my price. It's, you know, don't do those things. And, you know, I think it will be just more challenging to keep your margins on the service side. But, you know, that's everybody's bread and butter. And you need to make sure you're working really closely with the manufacturer representative, registering, get deal regs in so your margins are protected. You know, there's other contractual ways to protect your margin on the product sales, you know, if that's a strategy of yours.
I actually think that professional services is going to become more important to MSPs in the future. Mm-hmm. As we look at a lot of things getting automated, yeah, that gives you the opportunity to do more with less on the recurring revenue side of things.
Yep.
But there's going to be a lot of price pressure there too. As these national firms, it makes them a lot easier to come out with cheaper and cheaper services. So I feel like our opportunities in professional services are going to be growing. So do not let that slide. I've seen some MSPs kind of let their professional services slide, right? Not hiring people that have good skills that can do special projects. Yeah, so keep an eye for how that develops. I know we're going to be talking about that on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be talking about it a lot. Here's one last important point I'd like to share with everybody. I think it's really important to turn back into that consultant instead of just a techie, instead of just, you know, you supporting these customers and kind of leaving them on autopilot. You really need to have a conversation with all your customers. You need to develop more personal, professional relationship with them and be that consultant. You know, don't underestimate how smart you are. And all the knowledge that you bring to the table, that's exactly what these customers need to protect their data and to move into this new era. They want your opinions, and that's your differentiator. You could charge a lot more margin with that. Take that consultative role and really get to know their processes and what their business plans are and what's going on in the near future for those businesses. I think that's really important.
Yep, I 100% agree. I always referred to myself as a consultant. Mm-hmm. You know, we only adopted the MSP moniker fairly late because customers started to understand what that was and we needed to be in the mix. But our bread and butter was consulting, right? Yeah. And projects. And like I've said, always getting in and being part of that business culture of our clients and not truly just being an outside vendor that's doing things they don't see. We always wanted to be seen. And I agree with you. I think that's the future. As things become automated with AI, you've got to be seen in order to stay relevant.
One pattern I've seen consistently over the years is that experience alone doesn't automatically lead to better systems. A lot of MSP owners build their operations organically, one decision at a time, without ever stepping back to ask whether there's a cleaner, more intentional model available. That's how complexity piles up and stress becomes normal. IT Service Provider University exists to interrupt that pattern. It provides structured, practical education on how MSP businesses actually function, so owners can make deliberate choices instead of default ones. If that kind of reset would be useful, you'll find the full course catalog at itspu.com.
I wanted to talk to you about international affairs, right? We all know what's going on. I want to talk about this because I got bombarded by the FBI this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, they had several public service announcements come out over the weekend alerting IT professionals to threats that are on the rise out there. And in our show notes, I've got those PSA announcements. So take a look in there so that you can read about them. They've got specific tech changes in security that they want you to make in order to protect businesses. So, you know, one of them is from the Russian intelligence service. They are specifically looking at high value targets, particularly in government, military, political figures, journalists that they're looking to fish those people. The second one was a warning about things that the Iranian ministry is doing, their intelligence and security agency. They are targeting poor journalists again, anybody opposed to this, anybody opposed to Iran itself. And they're pushing malware out there that's specifically targeted. So I felt like I wanted to let people know that these public service announcements are out there, because this is a thing happening in the world. But I also wanted to talk to you, James, about how do we talk to our clients about this, right? Anytime you're talking politics, and this is kind of politically related, it can get sticky. And so the question is, the FBI is saying, hey, here's some definitive things that you should be doing in your IT environment to guard yourself against these specific threats that are coming out. And they're severe enough that they felt strongly enough about it to put out these announcements on it.
Yeah.
Do we do it in the background and don't mention it to our clients because we don't want to get into those conversations? Or do we say, hey, I'm aware of what's happening in the world, and this is some directives from the FBI, and we're going to be taking these steps? What do you think we have to do here?
I cannot confirm nor deny what you just said. No, I'm just kidding. what a challenging question. You know, my gut instincts is, you know, how much is too much communications with your client about noise, right? And we just have to discern, is this noise or not? Is this important or not? I've seen people push too many notices out, you know, on email blasts, like newsletters, like, oh, be aware of this and this and this. And it's like, this is way too much noise. And I would just say maybe no more than one a month, then maybe that's something that you could share visibly with the clients. This is a public service announcement from the government about what's going on, and it's my responsibility to protect you. So I'd look at it from that way. I think that would be okay to share. I wouldn't send six of these out, public service announcements, just discern and pick the most important one. But that's a tough one. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. You know, I think that we can use this as an opportunity to tell our clients, hey, I'm plugged in.
Yeah.
And we're on top of this stuff, and maybe send them the information about these too, right? This is for example, here's some of the things that we get from CISA and from the FBI, and we use those to make decisions on how to configure security in your environment, right? So use that as a tool to help build your credibility with those clients. If some more of these come out next week, will I send them out again? No, I won't. Like you said, we don't want to bombard them, but it's a great opportunity to tell them, yeah, I'm on top of this stuff. This isn't a thing that you need to worry about. These are things that we're worrying about on your behalf. Yeah. So use it as a tool, guys. You gotta build up your credibility. It is all about staying in front of your clients and being credible. This is what the business is. Hey, I'm speaking of that, another thing to worry about, a little angle on AI. Microsoft came out, there's a new dashboard in your 365 tenant. I stumble on these new dashboards now and then. They just seem to appear out of nowhere. I found a Copilot one the other day, but let's talk about this AI one. This is ai.security.microsoft.com. And in this one, what it does is it gathers all the information that's going on with AI in your environment, whether it's MCP servers, individual apps, AI that is working inside of apps, any AI activity, bot activity, whatever it is, it will show it in this portal and alert you to whether those things are configured properly. So if they're right, because your 365 tenant is all about keeping things in your tenant, not leaking out. So it's going to assess the relative security of the configuration of these things. And then also, this was really cool, it's going to tell you what data of yours these things have accessed. So you can kind of keep an eye of what's going on. I thought this is super cool. This is really great of Microsoft to provide that. It's not any additional cost. It's showing up in all of your portals. So use it. There is a prerequisite, of course, there has to be. How does it gather this information? It uses the Defender sensor, which is already in your Windows 11 devices. We just have to turn it on. So you need to deploy that sensor. You get that from the, you get that from Defender. Deploy that sensor out however you want to, your RMM tool, Intune, whatever. Once it's there, it'll start feeding this so that you can do a better job of monitoring what's happening with AI.
We last week we talked about the different versions of you know, the M365. Is this a standalone license or is this something that already comes included with you know, the different versions of M365?
No license required. This portal is just there. Okay. Now, I say there's no license for this portal to function. For it to gather information, you need that Defender sensor. So you're going to have a suite that has Defender in it.
Got it.
Almost all of them do.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you can deploy that out, and then you get this really awesome tool that they just added at no additional charge.
Yeah, I love that. Awesome.
All right. So I wanted to make a mention, you know, we've talked about my AI class that I did last year, and you spoke at one of those. And the purpose of the class was to help the MSPs develop their AI offering, right? What are you going to offer from a service perspective, right?
Right.
We're not all going to turn in developers overnight. Manage, monitor, secure is what we do. And so, you know, how are we going to do that? How are we going to add that into our service offerings? I did that class two different sessions last year. I'm not going to do it in person anymore. And I kept getting some requests for it. So I finally figured out how to get it online. I'm going to put a link into that in show notes as well, or you can get off my website over at Third Tier 2. I found this really cool app called CoAssemble. What it does is it takes your information. So I fed it. I fed it my PowerPoints. I fed it my notes from the classes. Mm-hmm. I fed it the transcript in there. And then it takes all of that and puts it into a series of slides for a course. You know, like how you're doing any kind of online course where it, and it's got cool transitions. It kind of does it all for you. You can go in and edit and tweak it and use it afterwards like you have to do. But this tool was awesome. Hmm. So highly recommend CoAssemble. And if you want to take my class online, now you can do it.
Tales from the field.
All right. Let's talk about a tale from the field. James, you were telling me about a couple of partners, the guys that are now partners. They didn't start out that way, but they merged together and now they're bumping heads.
Yeah. Yeah. I see this too often, but a client of mine had reached out saying, hey, really cool guy, big MSP, brings lots of value to the table. We're looking at merging. And ultimately what they were doing is I'd recommended initially to keep their businesses separate, form a new entity if that's what they want to do. And then they can split duties and expenses and so forth from there and then make that their dream company. One thing that started happening right away is they just started bumping heads and they were having a hard time making decisions. So there was an emergency phone call. I jumped on a call with this member client of mine and just tried to walk through what the issues were. You know, how are you communicating? You know, did you guys talk about this ahead of time? But they're just on fundamental things on go-to-market strategy, partners, hire decisions. They're arguing, it seems like, about everything. So I just said, hey, let's hit the reset button. I would recommend just go back and talk to the other party. And just one by one, go through the list and you've got to come up with a framework because they were 50-50 in this new partnership. Someone has to make the final decision. You know, I'll just say all partnerships are going to end one day. And so a good agreement and all good partnerships start with an agreement with your goals, your duty split up, and then the end in mind. Like one day when we do separate, what is that going to look like? And of course, that wasn't in their agreement. But, you know, so they're trying to work things out and we'll kind of see where that goes. But, you know, a note, you know, of experience for people listening in, you know, most MSPs, I think over 75% have two or more partners involved. One, make sure you get a clear understanding of what people's goals are, what everybody's duties are, you know, the financial aspect and so forth. And always put the end in mind. Like one day when this partnership ends, there should be an out clause with a formula, you know, compensate people when they leave. So learn from these guys' mistakes and make sure you have that agreement in place.
Hey, James, did they take your advice to start a new separate organization rather than merge their two companies together?
Yes, and thank goodness they did, because I think that's, can you imagine how hard it would be just to start peeling back your customers after, you know, co-branding and so forth? It would be really challenging. So they did create a new legal entity, and they kept their existing entities, and the intentions were keep all the business that you had initially. Mm-hmm. And they really haven't even developed, you know, net new opportunities, net new customers yet. They're still trying to work things out.
No net new customers, and they're already arguing.
Yeah, exactly. Both guys went in with great intentions, big smiles, they're best friends, and then look at where things are now. That's challenging.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like they had the same technical outlook, and we're getting along on that level, because the things you mentioned where they're conflicting is all the things they probably didn't think about. Go to market, sales, pricing, right? Yeah. There's a lot more to running a business than, hey, we both like Google Sheets. All right. Hey, here's a fun thing. I told you at the top, I had to introduce you to the Preppers Internet. That's what I'm calling it. I had an MSP contact me over the weekend and say, hey, you should check this out. I think you might find it useful. Even if you don't, you should tell others. So here I am. I'm telling others. I don't have a bunker, so I don't know that I need this thing. But it's called Project Nomad. So this Project Nomad is a Linux server. So you stand up a Linux server and then two lines of code and you load this thing. And what it does is it takes portions of the internet offline so that you will always have it when whatever your specific paranoia is happens. So if you think the food system is going to shut down, there won't be any electricity in the future, there won't be any internet in the future, there'll be, you know, whatever. And it's got an AI built into it to make it easy to search and talk to. So it's got a built-in friend. Then it's got the Khan Academy. It's got Wikipedia. And there's about six other things that it's all pre-configured to download and suck in. So you got to have quite a bit of hard drive space on this thing, and you need a little bit of power for it.
Yeah.
But, and then you can add other things in too that you have access to that you can pull into this thing. So I'm calling it Preppers Internet. You can populate your bunker with an offline copy of the internet. I think it's super cool.
Doomsday prepper tip. You know, like, you think of it, it's kind of cool. I thought initially from an application standpoint, you know, that might be interesting if you're traveling into a dead zone, but, you know, carrying a robust Linux server around with tons of storage does not sound like a portable solution. So
you have an electric car, James, you could wire that in, run that server out of your trunk, and then,
I like where this is going.
Right. Yeah. So, dear listener, when I first mentioned this to James, he said, well, I'm just taking a bottle of wine into my bunker. Yeah. And so I said, but James, whether you're opening that can of dried corn or that instant beef stew, you got to know what kind of wine goes with it. And this is why you need Project Nomad. You need that offline internet so that you can go in and ask Wikipedia for its advice on, you know, wines, the wine region that these things came in, the perfect pairing for dried beef stew. What is it?
See, that's a great use case. I like it.
That is the end of our show today, but we wanted to remind you guys to submit questions to us and subscribe over at the smbcommunitypodcast.com website. You can do both those things for there, or you could email James or email me, and we'll talk about your question coming up.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Remember, Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech.
which drops at 5 p.m. Eastern, Mondays through Fridays, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.